Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy."
Welcome to the Sound Doctrine broadcast, coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California, the most southwest city in California, where the sun shines most of the time. And not the S-O-S-U-N, but we have the S-O-N, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, shines all the time in Southern California. Amen. We want to welcome our guests tonight from around the world. We want to thank Enterprise Media for allowing us to have this guest spot on a weekly basis. We're grateful to them. And we want to thank those who have been praying for us, contributed towards us, and those who faithfully pray for us. It means an awful lot, and your prayers are felt and they're heard. And we want to thank you. We want to thank those people in England and South Korea and around the world that have tuned in and sent us messages and are in our chat box, and we're grateful that you're able to come on and faithfully follow us. And thank you if you're archiving this program later. I just want to make a note that I know you archive it. You come back. I know 9 o'clock's a little late on the East Coast, but I want to thank you, and I'm grateful for your participation. And we're going to get some sound doctrine tonight. This is a Sound Doctrine broadcast. I hope you brought a King James Version Bible with you, or King James Bible. We shouldn't even say version. It's a Bible. And bring King James Bible with you and authorized version, and we'll get some studying tonight. As they say down south, we're going to get some learning in southern United States. But again, I hope you have your Bibles ready, and we're going to have Brother J.P. Alba. He's here with us live in the studio, and he's going to pray us in this evening. So without further ado, we'll pray in, and then we'll get down to some good preaching with some conviction. Not the stuff you get on television, not the stuff you get patted on the head on Sunday. We're going to give you some old path preaching, and I hope there's a little conviction in there, and I hope there's a little something to edify your spirit tonight and to help you grow in Christ Jesus. Amen. Brother Alba.
Thanks, Brother Peter. Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you tonight and we just thank you for everything that you've done in our lives. Help us get through the rest of this week and the weeks to come, Lord. We want to pray for the people listening around the world. Maybe they need physical or emotional healing, Lord. We want to pray that you give us the message that you intend us to hear, Lord. And again, we just thank you for all the things that you've done, Lord. Help Brother Peter stay out of the flesh and help him give the message that you want us to receive. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Alba. We certainly appreciate that. And we're going to get down to some preaching here. If you'll open your Bibles tonight, and you get down to, we're going to get over to the Laodicean Laodicean witness. And you know, we're in that Laodicean time right now, biblically. That's where we're at in history and in the age of grace. And if you'll turn with me to Revelations chapter 3, and that's where you're going to find the Laodicean church age. It's the seventh church age. And prophetically, each of these church ages represent a time period of the Bible, or a time period of biblical history and the church age. And you notice as we study through and we looked at these verses, we got down, if you look at chapter 3 with me, and you'll see the church of Philadelphia. And the church of Philadelphia says that they kept the word of God. They kept the word of God. And the Philadelphia church age represents 1,000 to 1,500 in that area. And a little bit farther, then you go up a little farther. You know, you have the first church, which is Sardis, in verse 1. And then you come down to Philadelphia. And that's right about 1611 when the King James Version Bible came out. And that's the word of God. And anything anybody's telling you is different is a fallacy. These new modern Bibles are perversions of the scriptures. And please feel free to call me and ask me or chat, and I'll tell you the difference. But for tonight, let us look at Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. And I hope you don't mind reading a little bit with me. After all, it is a service, and it is the word of God. Scripture says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. The Laodicean age. You know, this is the only church that you find of the seven churches where Jesus Christ is standing outside the church. And you know why he's standing outside the church? He's standing outside the church because the people have a different Jesus in most churches. They have a Jesus that doesn't forgive everybody's sin. They have a Jesus that doesn't forgive every sin. It only forgives theirs. And most of those people are dealing with people who think that the worst sin that somebody else can commit is the one they're not committing. Amen? But tonight, as we look at this passage, Jesus Christ said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Oh, Holy Father, in Jesus' name, if there's anything that would hinder this message, Lord, if there's any sin in our lives, please forgive us in Jesus' name. You know, some of you are sitting right here, right now, listening to this program, and you are lukewarm. Some of you are sitting right here, and you don't like hearing me say that some of you are lukewarm, but that's okay. Because I learned a long time ago that when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the dog that gets hit barks the loudest. Amen? Jesus Christ said, Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Amen? There's a soul winner's crown. And brethren, young and old, boy and girl, man or woman, do you have one? Do you have a crown? Have you earned your crowns? Some of you don't even know what the five crowns are. It might be because you're lukewarm. Some of you have earned a crown of rejoicing. For those who don't know what a soul winner's crown is, that's the crown of rejoicing. But I'm not done with you Christians who have earned a soul winner's crown. I call you to remembrance of the words of our beloved brother and apostle John, who said, Look to yourselves. Hey, examine yourselves, he's saying. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Don't lose what you earn, but that we receive a full reward. Amen? That's the Apostle John. He tells you, examine yourself. You don't want to lose it. A crown of rejoicing is a reward, and you can lose your reward. Amen. Hey, listen, it happens. You can do it. There are five crowns mentioned in the Bible that you can earn. Number one is a soul winner's crown. That's found in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and Philippians 4:1. There's the incorruptible crown for keeping your body into subjection, 1 Corinthians 9:25 to 27. There's a crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:1 through 4. That's a pastor's crown. People say, well, how come the pastor gets an extra crown? That's so he could throw it at you for all the aggravation you put him through. Amen? No, I'm just fooling. Right. There's a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. There's a martyr's crown, or the crown of life, Revelations 2:10. James 1:12. You get that crown of righteousness over there. In Timothy, you find out for waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you waiting for Jesus Christ to appear, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior? Amen. There's a martyr's crown. That's the crown of life. Hey, listen, James 1:12, we Christians today, we're being marginalized. They're killing us by the thousands over in the Middle East daily. They're killing many Christians, and your life may be called out. And are you willing to stand and earn the crown of life, or will you renounce Christ? Now, there are Laodicean preachers and there are Laodicean teachers that are out there in the world, and they're teaching and they're preaching that these crowns are not literal, but only figurative. But I want you to remember Jesus Christ's words. Jesus Christ said, by thy words they shall be judged, and wisdom is justified of her children. And as Haman built a huge gallows to hang Mordecai, the Jew, Haman's own deceit caused the king to hang Haman on Haman's own gallows. And so shall men like Shaft and a radio school of the Bible in Oklahoma and these other schools, Bob Jones University, and that abandon the King James, cling to it but don't. They'll be hung by their own deceitful and lying words, and the Mordecai's of God shall be exalted. Amen? The word of God says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. Revelations 4:10-11. Hey, my brethren, is it any wonder why Jesus Christ is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock? If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Jesus Christ isn't even in the Laodicean Age church. Oh, there's plenty of churches out there. Let me tell you, you've been listening to those Laodicean Age preachers. That's why you're having Christian problems in your life. Men like Swindoll, Savelle, Morris Krullo, Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Copeland, Graham, Dobson, Hinn, Robert Schuller, Oral Roberts, Swaggart, Baker. And women, too, Gloria Copeland, Mrs. Dollar, Joyce Myers. What is any Christian man doing listening to those women in the first place? Amen? Paul said, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. 1 Timothy 2:12-13. Brethren, I did not write that. God wrote it. I just live by it. And these women preachers usurping authority over men are outside of the Word of God. And Lord have mercy on their wretched souls. Those women preachers usurping authority over men, why, Lord have mercy on their husbands, their wretched souls. Amen? And oh yeah, we're in the Laodicean age. It's the final countdown. And don't let them tell you there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, male or female, and that's their excuse for serving as the pastor. Scripture doesn't say that. It says, I suffer not a woman to usurp authority over a man, and that means to be over the man in the church. It doesn't happen. It's not the word of God. Amen. Some of you are sitting around like you have forever to learn, earn your crowns, to win souls. Hey, you better wake up. You're in the Laodicean age where sinners, oh, they're not lost, really. Not really. They're just lacking something. Or they're maladjusted. Or they just lost their sense of identity. Hey, these apostate, compromising preachers do not deal with sinners in the biblical terms of sin, death, judgment, and hell. And instead, the heretics deal with sinners in terms of modern psychology, pastoral counseling. They teach, you do not upset. This is what they're teaching. You don't upset the sinner in his sins. You get the sinner to cope with them by making adjustments, which will enable him to find himself. You must smooth down the text and snugly keep damnation out of sight. That's the order of day in Laodicea. Do you hear me, Rick Warren? Amen. The Apostle Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Romans 10. 1 through 4. Again, I didn't write it. Don't you get mad at me. I'm just a pizza delivery boy. How you eat this pizza is up to you. You want to put salt on it, you go ahead. You want a little pepper on it, you go ahead. You want a little hot sauce on it, you go ahead. Don't get mad at the preacher. I'm preaching the word of God here. Amen. Hey, listen. Scripture says that if any sinner accepts Jesus Christ as Savior from sin without a realization that he or she cannot save themselves from sin, and without the realization that sin will be punished eternally, that person is not getting saved. He's confessing a prayer that it means nothing. He must first repent. John the Baptist came saying, repent, 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 for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, you sinners. He didn't come and say, all you have to do is clean up and get right, and everything's going to be fine. Oh, no. That's what they want in church today, the Laodiceans, my brother. They want to be pat on the head. Listen, they must see, a sinner must see that their own righteousness cannot save them. And furthermore, that Jesus Christ is not just one more righteous act added to their own righteous acts. My brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ is the cure for the sinner's righteousness. Amen? Listen to what it says. But we are all as unrighteous things, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Isaiah 64:6. You know what he's saying? You are dead in your trespasses and your sins, and there is nothing that you can do in your natural human life to be a righteous person unless you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you give him those sins, and he gives you his righteousness. That, my brethren, is called the doctrine of imputation. And unless this is brought home to the unrepentant sinner who is dead in trespass and sin, he is saved from nothing. If the sinner is not saved from self-righteousness, he is not saved from anything. Let me say that again. Amen. If the sinner is not saved from self-righteousness, he is not saved from anything. Too many people are walking around saying, I want to lead you to Jesus. He's going to fix everything. All you got to do is pray this prayer and you're saved. Hey, listen, he's got to know he's a sinner first. He's got to repent of being a sinner. Repentance means to turn away in another direction. Then once he realizes he's a sinner, then he goes to Jesus Christ and asks for forgiveness of sins. If he does not realize that he's a sinner, and if he does not go to Jesus Christ, he does not get saved. You can say all the prayers you want, but if you don't confess that you're a sinner, you cannot be saved. You still think you're righteous. Before you can arrest a murderer, God has already judged him. Did you know that? 1 John 3:15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 3:15. God has already sentenced him. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see light, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Woo, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Amen? Lord, have mercy. People walk around and say, oh, I fear God. I fear. You don't fear God. You think you fear God. Listen, God says he's going to shake the whole earth. Picture the whole earth shaking. You don't know the power of God and the wrath of God and the anger of God. You better get right, sinner. God has fixed the day of the murderer's execution. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, Revelation 22:15, go around telling your children Santa Claus is coming and the Easter Bunny. What's the matter with you Christian people? Oh, we don't have Easter. We have resurrection eggs. What's the difference? Resurrection eggs. You don't even know the implication of it. Easter is a pagan holiday. It has nothing to do with Christ. It has nothing to do with Christians. It has nothing to do with you, Christian, or your children. Stop lying to your children. Oh, it's just a white lie. A lie is a lie is a lie is a sin. You see, my brothers, God made man so he knoweth their works. Job 34:25. My brethren, young and old, boy or girl, man or woman, it's very, very sad. but by scriptural standards, not one Laodicean convert out of 10 will respond to the typical modern Laodicean invitation to let Christ come into his life, or give himself to Christ, or let Christ solve his problems, or commit himself to Christ by making a decision, is any more saved than Pope John Paul the First and the Second were. Amen? And by the way, I wrote to the Pope and told him how to get saved. When we get to heaven, he's got no excuse. Peace, peace, world peace. That's what he's talking about. Where did you ever hear him tell you, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God? He never said it. He'll never say it. He doesn't believe the Bible. Amen? If you don't help that sinner see that he is lost, you won't get him saved. You won't earn your crown of rejoicing. You won't have a crown of rejoicing to cast before the Lord's throne. And worse, you could cause a lost soul to think he's saved when he is not. And he gets to heaven for judgment, and he finds out he's not at the judgment seat of Christ, but at the white throne judgment. Because he made a confession of Christ without repentance of his sin. You led him to believe that. You ought to be a good steward of God and a good steward of God's word. And God's going to bless you for being a good steward. Amen? You know, before Bob Jones Sr. died, before that school passed on to his sons, Bob Jones Sr. said, God will find a way to take care of a soul winner if he had to put the angels on half rations. Jesus Christ said, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Luke 5:10. Imagine the joy in heaven. The joy in heaven. When you lead somebody to Jesus Christ, and the truth is we're not soul winning, we're soul warning. There's joy in heaven. The angels rejoice. Hallelujah! All through heaven there's rejoicing. And your passed away Christian family members that are in heaven, they're probably saying, what's that noise? Well, who won a soul? My son, your son did. Your daughter did. Your brother did. Your sister did. Oh, hallelujah. There's rejoicing in heaven. Today you win somebody to Christ in church, everybody says, yeah, that's great, yay. Come on, brothers. The devil lost a prize. He lost a soul for all eternity when you win somebody to Jesus Christ. Now here's five signs of a Laodicean Christian. And I want to ask you to examine your hearts tonight. To examine your hearts tonight. And I want to see if you resemble any one of these five signs. The first sign of a Laodicean church age Christian is lukewarmness. The first sign of a Laodicean church age Christian is lukewarmness. Jesus Christ said in Revelation 3:15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So a picture of a lukewarm or a lukewarm Christian is a Christian who, number one, has a religious routine. He's religious. Number two, he won't pray with the brethren. He won't pray with a brother. Number three, he comes to Bible study in lounges when called upon to read. They have no zeal for God in their heart. Blah, blah, blah. Number four, only spends time fellowshipping at Bible study and Sunday services. They spend more time with the unsaved than the backslidden. Not for Christ, but for pleasure, knowing that the Bible says this about the unsaved. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Ephesians 5:12. And how many of those people show up at your water fountain, your coffee pots, and your break rooms on Monday morning and want to brag about the filth they did over the weekend? Oh, they think it's such a wonderful thing. They were with this woman and with that woman and with this man, and they drank this and they went here and they stole that. And oh, what a great time they have. You know what it says? It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Lord, have mercy. Every time you ask them to do something for the church, it's too great a burden for them. It's too great a burden for them. Glad I'm still working on the first sign. Jesus Christ said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Oh, it reminds me of the young man who prayed and prayed and said, Lord, this cross is too heavy for me to bear. And he was going through life carrying his cross, and he saw all these other people carrying theirs, and they were all full of joy, but his cross was too heavy. And he said, when I see Jesus, I'm going to tell him this cross is too heavy. You guys must have lighter crosses because you're carrying them easier than I am. And so when he saw Jesus, he said, Lord, Lord. And the Lord said, yes. And he said, this cross you gave me, it's too heavy. Look at all the crosses the other ones are carrying. It's so easy for them. This one's too heavy. And he said, okay, come with me. And he went into a room with all these crosses. And this young man spied out that little cross on the wall, and he said, and Jesus said, take whatever cross you want. He says, oh, I'll take that one, Lord. He says, son, that's the one you're carrying, that very little cross. Lord, have mercy. These people, they put their friends and their family before God. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. If this is a picture of your life as a Christian, why don't you jump in? Why don't you let go of that old man? Why don't you let go of the old life? What did it ever do for you? Lukewarmness makes God sick. These are the words of Jesus Christ. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Jesus Christ said there are Christians that make him sick, and he will vomit them out of his mouth. Well, I don't want to be a Christian that makes God sick, that's for sure. I've got my own problems, brothers, but I know how to repent, and I know how to pray, and I know how to get that thing under the blood and get on moving. I know how to get up and get the dust off of me. Knock that dust off, you fall down. Get up and run. Here's the second sign of a Laodicean church-age Christian. It's materialism. Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Christians who are lukewarm are materialistic and are only concerned with their temporal state. Number one, they don't read their Bible, the King James Bible, 16:11, which says, perverse disputings of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, and from such withdraw thyself, Paul told Timothy. These are perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, 1 Timothy 6:5. That's the name. That's the name and claim it, crew. The Copelands, the Hens, the Savelles, the Oral Roberts, and the rest of the like. Just because they have big mega churches and they have lots of money, they think they're doing the will of God. Imagine that. They think that godliness is a great gain. A great gain because they have gained materialistic things in their life that they are godly. Lord, have mercy on their wretched souls. Remember Esau, he sold out his birthright. And Achan at Ai hid gold and treasure in his tent. And it cost him his life and that of his family. Number three, they'd rather watch TV or listen to secular music. No, and the Bible says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. They don't care what God says. They don't care what the Bible says. They got that rock and roll music, rock and roll Christian music, with the drum beat of the rhythmic drum beat, a demonic beat that arises from the pagan African nations and other tribal nations, boom, 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 rhythmically seducing your mind so that the speeches and the music of the world can infiltrate you and destroy your walk in Jesus Christ. Because what you put in, my friends, is coming back out. Put that stuff away from you. That rap and that cool, you ain't no tough guy. All the tough guys I know are in the grave. Don't think you're a tough guy because you can listen to some rap about some tough guys. And all those guys, they ain't tough. That's why they're rapping about it. If they were tough, they'd be doing it. Tough guys. Get out of here. Here's another thing. They don't tithe. They don't give an offering. Listen, they don't even tip God. You go to a restaurant, tip today is 15 to 20%. You go in church today, you want to give God 10%, if that. You're not even tipping God. Shame on you. Lord, have mercy. How's the work of God supposed to continue if you don't put any money in the church? That's what it's there for, to maintain the church, to win souls, to reach out in missions. No, they don't do that. They don't tithe. They don't give offerings. Jesus Christ said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Matthew 17:26. Hey, brethren, the Bible tells you also, give no place to the devil. You're not cool. You can work out. You can run. You can jog. Put some godly music on. You don't have to sit around listening to that stuff. You ride around in them cars and them Cadillacs and them Mercedes. You think you're somebody in your Beamer. You're nobody. You're shaming Christ because people are hearing that music and know you're a Christian. That's what Jesus is about? That's what they say. That's what Jesus is about? Hey, we do that already. We must be holy. Lord, have mercy. We had a backslidden brother one time. He was so backslidden. One guy, an unsaved man, walked up to him and said, "You call yourself a Christian?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I must be a Christian." He said, "Why are you a Christian?" He said, "I do everything you do. I listen to hard rock music. I listen to rap. I look at pornography. I curse and swear. And I do drugs. That's everything you're doing. I must be one." Lord have mercy on that fool. Walking around making people blaspheme God. God's got no contact with that. You don't get away with that stuff forever. Then you start having problems in your life. You don't realize that the hand of God is upon you. He's chastising you. He's correcting you. He's trying to get you right. Amen. We'll take that call and we're done. We're not done. Thank you. Number three, here's the third sign of a Laodicean Christian. It's spiritual dullness. Jesus Christ said, "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Their spiritual state, my friends, is dull. The Apostle Paul said clearly in the Scriptures, in Hebrews 5:14, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." A spiritually dull Laodicean age Christian, they are using up. Number one, they use apostate Bibles. The RV, NIV, RSV, CEV, NAV, New World Translation, NASB, the LB, the New King James Version, all Alexandrian trash. My Bible says I get a mansion when I get to heaven. There it says they get a room. When they get there, God ought to give them a room. Number two, they have no sound doctrine. Sound doctrine brings sound behavior. They have no sound doctrine. They have no sound behavior. They can't stop sinning. Number three, they're not great soul winners. Number four, even though they have some works, they have heart trouble. Their works are lukewarm. Jesus Christ said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." Matthew 13:15. They are still in the incubator. They need to grow up and get out of that crib and start walking as a Christian soldier. Number four, the fourth sign of a Laodicean age Christian is they are offended. Did you hear me? The fourth sign of a Laodicean church age Christian is they are offended. Jesus Christ said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Revelation 3:19. And a picture of someone who is offended, John the Baptist. Jesus Christ said, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." John the Baptist was offended. He was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He came and he announced the coming of Christ. What a great honor. No greater honor bestowed upon a man than to be the forerunner of the Savior, God manifest in the flesh, John the Baptist. And he went to prison. And he sent out a message. Hey, is this the one that's supposed to come or is another supposed to come? He thought he was somebody. You know what Jesus said when they told him that? "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Matthew 11:2 says, "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples." Lukewarmness, materialism, spiritual dullness, and being offended at God. Being offended at the pastor, being offended at the deacon, the brethren, wrongfully will result in rebuke and chastisement by God Almighty. And here's the fifth and final sign. The fifth and final sign of a Laodicean church-age Christian is they belong to a dead church. Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Brethren, in this Laodicean age, Jesus Christ is standing outside of the church because these Laodicean age Christians are lukewarm. They're materialistic. They're spiritually dead. They're offended, and they're dead as a doornail. They are dead. They're spiritually dull, and they are dead. This lukewarm Laodicean church is married to the world. They don't read their Bibles, because if they did, they'd know what the Apostle James said about the world. They got comfortable. They have plenty of material goods, sorting out worldly pleasures. And you know what James says about you, church? Ye adulterers and adulteresses. He's not talking about fornication physically. He's talking about spiritual fornication. You're married to Jesus Christ. We are going to meet the bride. And James says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend with of the world is the enemy of God. And Jesus Christ doesn't like what you're doing. You're bringing the world into your church so you can win souls. And you're not going to get credit for those souls because you're winning them against the word of God. We don't bring the world into our churches to become the world. Some of you have got unsaved men in your church holding positions and offices. Shame on you. Shame on you. Jesus Christ is standing outside this Laodicean church. He's outside. He isn't even in the church. Jesus Christ is outside. He's knocking. Brethren, we do well if each one of us would leave this program today with the admonishment of the Apostle Paul ringing in our hearts and in our ears. Amen. The Apostle Paul admonished us, see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And if you're exhibiting any one of those five signs, you need to get on your knees and repent. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to get under the blood of Jesus Christ and get cleansed. You need to get the word of God in your life, and you need to leave that church because you are living and walking and submitting to a pastor who is not in the word of God. He is not of sound doctrine. He allows those Bibles in his church, those NIVs, RSVs, KJVs, that are the new KJVs. The Rainbow Bible. The Message. Don't let this pastor tell you it's easier to read your Bible if you read the King James first. It's okay to read an NIV. It's not. It's against the word of God. You are a sinner, you are a heretic, and you are submitting to a heretic. It is apostasy. You say, what do you mean? Isaiah 14:12, O thou Lucifer, O thou cast down. NIV says, O thou morning star, how art thou cast down? Revelation 22 says that Jesus Christ is the morning star, the bright morning star, the Son of David. The NIV threw Jesus Christ out of heaven. You say, what? Go read it. Go read it. And then you submit to a pastor who allows that stuff in his church. Well, only the originals are inspired. Don't listen to that nonsense. Our perfect translation, the King James Bible. Paul spoke in Hebrew, and the apostles translated it in Greek. That's the manuscripts were in Greek. A perfect translation. Somebody's fooling you. God's not going to honor your work there anyway. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're my mother or my father. You're involved in that church, you're wrong. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I'll take that caller now, brother.
Come. All right, I'm unmuted. How you doing, Peter? This is this is Joe from Greensboro, North Carolina there. How's everything going? I listened to your whole entire message there. And my question is, and it's a serious question. I'm not trying to, bring any type of controversy, because that's not going to get us anywhere. But what about the people who are letting Jesus? You said Jesus is standing outside the door and he can't get in. But what about the people who want Christ to walk through the door and come into their lives, but they don't see any change? And how long should they wait? I mean, what? They have to wait their entire fleshly life until they see it at the end, which I understand and respect, but because God is God and I love God and I love Jesus, but what do you say as a pastor and give them that type of advice when they suffer throughout their entire life and they're inviting Jesus to come into their life?
When the scriptures say, if any man be born again, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. The first miracle they ought to see in their lives is that they are now a child of God in the family of God. That's a miracle in itself, because they weren't deserving of that salvation. Somebody else paid for it and paid for their sins. The second thing, if they're truly saved, then God will work in their conscience and they'll start seeing changes in their lives and their thought patterns, and the things that they used to do will offend them when they see others doing it. And when they do things that are against the will of God, the Holy Spirit will bring conviction into their life. And the more a person reads the scriptures, the longer they read the scriptures, the more the word of God gets into them, and the more the word of God grows within them, and the power of the Holy Spirit and the discernment of the things of God and the desires of God. You see, you take a guy like me. It took me 40 years to surrender to Christ. It took me 40 years to become that person that I was. I didn't become a whole new person in the sense that everything in my life was changed. But it was a gradual thing. The more I read, the more that Jesus built his Christ-like characters in me. You see, just to get saved and do nothing with it and say, okay, I'm saved, I expect a big change in my life, you're not going to see that change because you're still in the flesh. God says he'll give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean if you desire a Lincoln Continental, he's going to give it to you. He might if you pray for it, but he's saying that I will give you the desires of your heart. I will put my desires in your heart, and then you will desire the things that God desires. God is generous, brother. For instance, you ever hear the 23rd Psalm says, my cup runneth over?
Yeah.
People don't understand what that means. But you see, when a shepherd was out in the field, there were a lot of stingy shepherds, and they didn't really take care of their sheep well. And when it came time to give them a drink, they were too lazy to fill the cup all the way up, or they were being miserly with their sheep. But when Jesus fills your cup up, it runneth over, because he's good and he's generous, and he always gives you more than you need. You see? But it's all a purpose of the heart. And what good is it to give my life to Christ and then not live for Christ?
No. Yeah, Peter, no, I understand your point. I understand what you're saying. You and I get it. Many others, Nathan probably gets it. There's many people listening that probably get it. But I'm talking about the people out there who are suffering and are living for Christ, but yet they suffer. They suffer day in and day out. And then they begin to say, hey, and you have to admit this. There's Christians out there who do live for Christ, and they suffer and they endure and endure. And then others around them, look, I understand what you're saying. We're dealing with God. We're in the flesh. And many people don't understand. They can't decipher between the flesh and the spirit. I understand, or the Holy Ghost, excuse me. But yet, as the pastor, not you, I'm saying, I'm just asking you for your advice for having a doctorate in theology. What do you say to those people? Do you say, just keep waiting? Just keep being patient. Keep living for the Lord, and Year goes by, year goes by. They get their children taken away. They're starving. They're living with no electricity. They're homeless. How much shall they endure for the Lord before they say, you know what? I mean, like, you know, there was a story where a man's daughter died and he took the statue of Mary and whipped it into the cornfield. You know, and you have, which I'm not saying you should do, but what I'm saying is we live in the flesh. You're right. God gives us free will. And God should understand that as we are men and women out there living in the flesh and we have free will. How much shall we endure? What, we have to live like Moses? We got to part the Red Sea? We got to endure like Moses? We have to endure like Christ to be saved? Many people say, to heck with that. I'd rather just die and deal with it when I'm dead because I'm here and now. Do you understand my point?
Well, then you know what they're missing? They're missing the joy of the Lord. You see, you're supposed to rejoice in all things. And a lot of us don't have lives. You're born in America, you hit the gene pool. Okay? You hit the gene lottery. There are people in the world that suffer every day. They're looking for a meal. They may go days without a meal. They're lining up for a slice of bread. Does God love them any less? No. God loves them. God doesn't leave his children starving.
I understand your point.
You know, I had a friend who said that he prayed God would use him. God used me in a mighty way. Next thing you know, he had cancer and he was laying in a hospital bed. And he said, God, I thought you were going to use me. The Lord told him, I am using you. You've been testifying here of my great power. And you've been testifying here of the love of Christ. And you've won souls for me here. You're looking at the finite world. And the finite world is just a dash. The day you were born, on the tombstone and the day you died, and it's just that little dash there. And then there's all eternity after it. There was all eternity before it.
And no, so you're absolutely, Peter, you're absolutely correct. And like I said prior, you and I get it. We've seen suffering and we've come about. But the average ordinary person out there, I'm humbling myself to believe like they do, and I understand because they see some people blessed and they see others not, and they say, well, why? Why? Because, look, you have to understand, many people out there, Peter, don't have your education. They don't have my education. They haven't experienced the suffering we suffered and then came out of it to rejoice and understand what Christ can do for us in our lives. So my question is, what can we do as Christians to try to uplift them to see that? You know what I mean?
Well, we should pray for them. We should comfort them. We should encourage them. They should read their Bibles. And they'd be encouraged. Look at Mephibosheth. He was a baby and he was dropped. You know, and he was crippled all his life. And he suffered all his life. But King David had ordered the Solomon bring him into his home.
Yeah, yeah.
And sit at the king's table.
And, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We have to understand that we suffering is a result of sin. Sickness is a result of sin. It's a result of sin. Some people get healed, some don't. In the scheme of things, I don't know. Do you know the problem I'm having with this allergy thing, allergic reaction thing? I could be dead in an hour from now. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I know where I'm going, and I have joy in my heart. I don't walk around every day saying, you know what, Peter, you got a shotgun on your back of your head, and any minute now, you could break out and die, and it's over. Woe is me. I'm not going to see my grandchildren. I'm not going to see my family. Hey, listen, I'll see everybody later. I'm going where I want to be. Now, most
you're
important place
correct.
To be for
you're,
me
yeah. well,
is
yes,
to be
Peter,
with
you. No, Peter, you're absolutely correct. You understand, but I'm saying the children, the Christians that are young like babies out there, what can we say as adult Christians and Christians like Nathan, like you, like I myself, who are out there preaching? But I understand your sermon tonight, but a younger Christian will not understand it. And
well,
they may
not
understand, you know.
That's not true, because I can't judge what the Holy Spirit brings into a young Christian's heart. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained wisdom. I never preach a sermon and say that a young person can't get it. There's something in that sermon for everybody. There's milk, meat, and strong meat. And I can't judge who's receiving what and who's not. That's for the Holy Spirit to make that discernment. But I will say this. I meet people every day that are downtrodden. Excuse me. I meet people every day that are downtrodden. Their lives are torn apart. They're on their way to prison. They're coming out of prison. They're returning to prison. They're sick. They're lame. They're maimed. They're elderly. But I know those who believe in Jesus Christ have an ultimate joy and hope in their heart. And so
you're absolutely correct. Stay the course.
Stay the course, because the rewards in the next life are greater than the rewards of this life, and the rewards in the next life are permanent. This isn't the all in all. And I'm sorry you have cancer. And I'm sorry your sister has cancer. And I'm sorry your mother's dying. And we'll pray that God be merciful. And if it be God's will to heal that person, fine. They're saved. We'll see them in the by and by.
You're absolutely correct, Peter. You're absolutely correct. And just real quick, because I know you're running out of time, but I just want to say to Nathan and you and, like, other people, I know you were on another show this week and you're made anonymous, and I appreciate that. And just like my show tonight, because I'm a fellow host like you, we need to unite these alternative media, because this is like you were talking about earlier, these pastors who have these big churches, this big congregation, you know, they have thousands of people and they have so much power, and they fall away from the true word of God, and they start preaching the easy word of God, you know, the NIV, and we break away from the true sound doctrine that your show preaches about, sound doctrine. And we need to unite, because we're the alternative media. You're not going to get the truth on Fox News. You're not going to get the truth on CNN. Peter, you'll never be there, and neither will I, and neither will Nathan. But we can grow as large as them if we unite and work together. You know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I get that. We spend our time preaching the gospel, and that's all we can do, brother. I agree, and we do. And I'll go on a show every now and then.
I know you will. I know you will. And Nathan, I appreciate you allowing me to have a voice tonight, and you too, Peter. And I do plug your show. And I hope you do the same with mine, Nathan, on your other shows. And I do, you know, because Enterprise Media, I always say, hey, this is where I started. This is where I got that little push to, you know, to have it. And like tonight, I'm having guests from all over the country and world calling into my show now. And I'd like to thank this show for giving me that jump start. Peter asked me to come on to this program a year and a half ago, and now look, I have my own program. I had the former president of Canada on my show. So we're growing, and I have to give thanks, and that's why I try to plug this show, because look, the truth is out there. We have to seek the truth, speak the truth, and understand the truth, otherwise we're going to fall for anything. And like you say, you know, Satan's out there. He's like a lion. He's prowling around, ready to devour us. And we need to put the full armor of God on and defend ourselves as Christians and keep fighting. But anyway, Peter, I know you got to wrap it up. Nathan, thank you. And Peter, I really appreciate you allowing me to have my say in questioning you. You gave me some good answers.
Give us your call, Science Joe. Give us your call, Science.
All right. Well, all you have to do is look up Understanding the Times in Which We Live in Today. Joseph Gibson. Okay, blogtalkradio.com/ Joseph Gibson. Phone number 657-383-0616. We broadcast on Sundays and Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I give everyone a voice to call in. And like I said, we had the former Prime Minister of Canada on. I had a woman tonight from Kentucky, okay, who had her children kidnapped by CPS. It was a powerful and emotional show. Supporters from around the country called in. And, you know, one thing, though, we give thanks to God. The Lord is doing this for us, and I always give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, thank you, brother. All right, Joe, thank you for calling in. Nathan, thank you for being on Switchboard. I'm going to have a prayer, and we'll pray us out of the program. I want to thank the listeners for listening and hope that you examine yourselves tonight and see if you are exhibiting any of those five signs of a Laodicean age Christian. And if you are, then it's time for you to get down on your knees and just repent and tell God, I'm going to abandon that materialism. I'm going to abandon those apostate churches and those Bibles. And God, I'm going to just follow you. I'm going to follow you. I'm sorry I've been lukewarm. I'm sorry I haven't been telling people that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Hope Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we bow our heads down and we just thank you, God, for this hour of power that you've given us, Lord, to through your Holy Spirit, this sound doctrine, Lord, that you allow us to teach and to preach. And God, I ask that you touch every heart and mind and soul and spirit that has heard this word tonight and cause them to do a self-examination. And I hope tonight, God, that your Son Jesus Christ is glorified in your word, which is above your name. And Father God, that you'd bless this listening audience and that you'd be with them this week until we come together next week and you'd heal those that are sick. I have some prayer requests for Dottie, for Rhonda, for Kitty, for Lewis, and many others, for Mark, and that God would put his healing touch on these people that have asked for prayer, and those who are sick in our listening audience, God, that you would just heal them and show them that you are indeed God. And I thank you, Father God, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Nathan, God bless.
God bless you, brother. Good night. Go ahead, Nathan.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me.
Thank you.